Well, you hit the nail on the head. This first prayer request is for the family of Jared Davis, who passed to his final resting place this past weekend. And then on my heart this morning, it's amazing you mentioned him, is Jonathan Lester. Mm-hmm. I spoke to him a couple of days ago. And as you know, he's in a battle with cancer that the scans are showing are in several places in his body. He had a CT scan on Tuesday. I don't know if you've talked to him since then, but he was expecting and believing for better results. Mm-hmm. Didn't get those. But as we talked the other day, and I told him to do just what you did with us one time. You were out here, and we were in Oklahoma City, and you said, lay hands on yourself. Lay mm-hmm. hands. And I told him, I said, you lay hands on yourself, Jonathan, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to point my hand from Tennessee to Oklahoma, and we're going to expect results.
Amen.
And so we want to pray for Jonathan.
Yep.
And then we want to pray for Linda Sue Underwood and her children as they are going through some things that are tough right now. And pray for Lindsay and David Brown.
All right. Our gracious Heavenly Father, first of all, we come before you in praise, in gratitude, in thanks that you hear and answer prayer. And whatever the need is, whatever the situation is, Lord, we know that you are more than sufficient. Your grace is more than sufficient. Father, we pray for the family of Jared Davis, Lord God, and we thank you that there is a real heaven, a real living hope. That because of what you, Jesus, did for us on the cross and in the grave and the penalty you paid for our sins, we have the hope of eternity. We pray, Lord God, your comfort from the Holy Spirit would just speak peace and grace into their hearts as they go through this time of transition. Father, I've seen people weep when one of their loved ones, I've seen people weep when their child is going off to college in another state. And Lord, this is very similar, very similar. It's a change of location. And Father, it's not easy, but we know that your grace makes it possible. And so we thank you for it. Father, we pray now, Lord God, for Jonathan Lester, Lord God. And I can say without any reservation that we know that Jonathan is trusting in you. He is leaning on you. He is drawing upon you. And Father, regardless of what those results said the other day, we know that he is speaking the word over himself. We are in agreement. You promise, Father, in your word, where two or more agree concerning anything on earth, it shall be done. Lord, we know that has to be qualified. It has to be something that is your will. And someone will say, well, how do you know it's God's will to heal Jonathan? Because the word says so. The word says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. He bless the Lord. Don't forget his benefits. He forgives all your sin. He heals all your diseases. Jesus never turned anyone away saying healing is not for you. Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are our healer. You were our healer. You are our healer. And by your stripes, Jonathan is healed. And we claim it for him in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you'd raise up intercessors to help undergird and support and bring about this miraculous healing, Lord God, so that you be glorified even more in Jonathan's life. I'm thankful that he told me, and he didn't hesitate when he did, I cannot lose because I've already received my healing. If this body fails me, I will be with the Lord forever and ever. But I believe God wants me healed. That's what he told me, Lord God, and I believe with him that he will be healed and bring glory to you on this earth. Father, I pray for Linda Sue Underwood, for her children, Lord God. You know the situation. You know how the enemy is trying to discourage. Lord, we release grace. We release favor. We release wisdom, Lord God, where decisions need to be made. We believe, Father, that because of your wisdom and your grace, Lord God, that breakthrough is at hand. And we give you praise for that. We speak peace. I pray for Lindsay and for David Brown. Father, I just surround them now, Lord God, with a hedge of protection and pray, God, that you would cast down any imagination, Father God, that is trying to torment or take them away or distract or hinder them. I believe for their complete and total submission and deliverance from anything the enemy has thrown in their path. We ask your grace for them. I pray, Lord God, for the family that I visited yesterday. Lord, I don't know that they'd want me to share who they are, but Lord, you know, and you know their situation financially, their situation health-wise, and fathers, they're attempting to get disability, Lord God. I pray that if that's your will of provision for them, that you would throw that door open. If that's not your will, Father, for them to have that disability check, I pray, God, you'd heal their bodies, show them what to do and how to do it. I ask your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. As I said early in the program, Joshua's Crossing Ministries is our Facebook sponsor today, and they are located right here at the corner of First and Main in Elk City. That's about two blocks north of Walgreens, and you can call Les if you'd like an appointment for counseling. His number is 580-799-0743. Prophetic Voice Ministries with Apostle Casey Elliott as their leader is at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. They have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, and then they have services again at 6 on Sunday evening. On Tuesday evening, they have prayer service, and on Thursday evening, they have Bible study. The Refuge Church is at 18304 East 1140 Road. Now, they've changed locations. They're in the building that used to be New Liberty Church. And I believe that is from the corner of, from Four Corners, which is Highway 6 and 283. I believe it's 4 miles west and a couple of miles south. Pastor Tammy Bailey is the pastor there. They have services at 10 o'clock, Sunday school 10, worship at 10:45, Sunday evening at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, and Wednesday youth group at 7. If you need more information, you can call 729-0956. Now, Pastor Dwight, I'd like for you to share with our listeners what time you have services
what
and things
time
going
we have
on.
Service. All right. Well, on Sunday mornings, we have a time of early worship and intercession for those who'd like to come and help us just bring heaven to earth. Starts at 9 a.m., and then about 9:45, we're ready to greet everyone for 10 o'clock church. So you'll come to church only 10 a.m. We get out close to noon now. And then on Tuesday evening, we have a time of worship and intercession, Tuesday evening 7 to 8:30, and Wednesday evening Bible study, worship and Bible study from 7 to 8:30 also. So.
All right. And, you know, we got to tune in from Tennessee this week, Sunday. So it was, the things that we have now so that people can share, there's no reason. It's great to be in church.
Yeah.
But if you're in Tennessee and you want to watch the service in Oklahoma, you can only do it by Facebook or something. So it's great to have that kind of technology.
It is.
We want to hear now from some of our other sponsors.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
We are back. We are on the Hour of Power. Our guest today, Pastor Dwight Shepherd from Living Waters in Burns Flat, with a topic, Don't Leave Home Without Him.
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 Who is him?
Who is him?
Who is him?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told the disciples and those that were gathered in Acts chapter 1, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift my Father promised and trust. John baptized with water. That's great. That's wonderful. But he said, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to receive the same virtuous, dunamis power that Father God used. I'm going to speak on Jesus' behalf, that Father God used me to heal all the people, all the things you've seen me do, Jesus was saying to him. That's what God wants to use you to do. He wants it to be literally, now this is going to sound weird to you, so you better get your spiritual ears on. He wants it to be as if Jesus didn't leave the earth, but what happened was, maybe you're familiar with this. We were in John a while ago, so just hold your place in 14. I'm going to look back to 12. I'll have to find a verse number because I don't remember the verse number, but I can see if we can find it. I think it's 12:21, something like that. Jesus said, unless a, here it's a 12:24. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Son of Man is the Messiah. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, verse 24, John 12:24. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. Now, what did he say before that? He said, it's time for the Messiah to be glorified. So when he's talking about a seed falling to the ground and dies, he's talking about his own sacrificial death that's about to happen. He said, but if it dies, it'll produce many seeds. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. When Jesus came to earth, I guarantee you Satan about lost it. He tried everything in his power to kill Jesus. That's a baby. That didn't succeed. When Jesus began his ministry, when the Holy Spirit came to empower Jesus, immediately after that, Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert wilderness. You can read about in Luke 4, Mark 4, all over the place. Jesus faced the tempter in the desert to overcome him so that Jesus would be ready to use this dynamic miracle-working power in the flesh. Jesus walked the earth as a flesh and blood human being. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said himself, it's not me that heals the sick. It's not me that casts out the devils. It's not me that does all the things you see me do. It's the Father living in me. He's the one doing all the works. And in John 14:12, he goes, and the same works that he's used me to do, he wants to use you to do. And he said it this way. He didn't say to you super spiritual missionaries and pastors and apostles and prophets. He said, whoever believes in me, follows me in faith. The works I do, they're going to do also, and even greater works. So how could we do greater works? Well, I told you before, we can lead someone to Jesus and they can be born again. That's a greater work. It's greater to be born again than it is to grow a new leg. Your leg's going to die. When you're born again, you'll never die. You say, what? You might drop off your earth suit, but you won't die. No one who believes in Jesus ever dies. No one who believes. I'm quoting Jesus. He said, whoever lives and believes in me, I tell you the truth, they will never die. They don't die. They just change clothes. And we need to see it that way. We just need to see it that way. I mean, we all face it. It happens. I faced a whole lot more of it in the last year than I ever dreamed I would. And I don't like it, and I don't want to face that again. But as long as I keep my perspective right and realize that those people that I can't see anymore, they didn't cease to exist. They just changed their clothes and their address. They laid their old tattered clothes. Some of them's clothes was pretty tattered, man. And they laid them old tattered clothes down, and they crossed over into eternity and picked up a new garment and an eternal home. Paul wrote, he said, if this tent we live in, called a tent, is folded up, we have a building in heaven that's built by God's hands, an eternal home. A tent versus a palace, which one do you want? But don't get in a hurry to get out of your tent because you got work to do. That's why I told Jonathan, too, and told him that. I said, boy, don't get in a hurry to get out of this tent. It's a tent, and it gets tattered, and it gets torn, and it's uncomfortable. And, there are people going through things that, I can't imagine going through because I don't have the grace to go through it because I'm not going through it. If you're going through something today, I just want to speak this to you. I guarantee you this, you've got grace to go through it, or the Lord, if he wouldn't take you through it, he wouldn't have brought you to it.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that everything that happens in your life comes from God. God is not controlling every molecule of the universe. God never made anyone sick. Jesus didn't. You say, well, the Old Testament says it. No, no, no. We are not. Newsflash, we're not living in the Old Testament. We have the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, or the original covenant of God. I love the Word of God. I love all the things I can glean and learn from it. But if it was all that there was, Jesus wouldn't have come. Jesus came to fulfill the original covenant and to institute the new covenant, a covenant truly of grace and love. So when you start thinking about the character and nature of God, and you start looking at Old Testament, and you go, well, God made people sick. Show me one time in the New Testament where God made somebody sick. You can't do it because it ain't there. But I can show you time after time after time after time after time where he healed the sick, where he raised the dead, where he made provision for people where it didn't seem to be any. God is good. Jesus came to give us the illustrated sermon that God, your Father, loves you and he is good. Amen. And then guess what, though? In order for us to become what he really wants us to be, he had to sacrifice himself. Now, every Christian everywhere will agree with that statement. Jesus had to sacrifice himself. We just read in John 12, Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. Jesus, all by himself. Right? Now, Jesus, all by himself, with the Holy Spirit in him, went around one place at a time. Say, where's Jesus today? Oh, he's over in Capernaum. He's healing the sick in Capernaum. Well, I'm in Bethsaida. What's wrong? Well, you ain't getting healed in Bethsaida. He's in Capernaum. Unless you could get somebody to go over to Capernaum where he's at and have him speak a word. Now, he can heal you from a distance, but he himself, that one point of miraculous provision, that one point of miraculous provision, need to release the virtue of God to come to you. He was able to do that, wasn't he? People were able to tap into that by their faith. Lord, if you would just seek the word, I know my servant will be healed. I'm a man under authority. I say go, he goes. I say come, he comes. Jesus marveled at that man's faith. For one thing, that man wasn't even a Jew. Whoa, he's a Roman, and he understands the concept of authority, and he recognizes Jesus has authority, so he goes, if you just speak the word, I know my servant will be healed. And boom, it was because of that. But when Jesus walked on the earth, if the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't sit at home, you know, and go, I'm just going to sit right here and imagine touching Jesus, and I'll get healed. No, she had to go touch Jesus. When the leper came, he fell into feet of Jesus. He came to the place where Jesus was because where Jesus was, the power was. So what's your point? And if the seed remains alone and doesn't die, if it doesn't die, it'll stay alone. But if it dies, what did he say would happen? It would produce many seeds. Seeds, plural, many seeds. Let me tell you what happened. When Jesus was ministering on earth, Satan thought, man, I'm going to stir up these jealous Jews. I'm going to get them to crucify this. I'm going to stop him. I'm going to murder him. I'm going to have him turn him over. And I'm not just going to do it by stoning him in the traditional Jewish way. I'm going to have him do it by the Romans' hands. Man, they're wicked. They know how to do it right. We'll get him crucified, boy. So Satan instigated the men to do it. You say, well, it wasn't Satan's plan. Oh, I'm aware of that. It was God's plan before the foundation of the world. But Satan, he's a pawn. He doesn't accomplish anything that God doesn't approve for him to allow for him to do, and he's always setting him up for failure. Satan is always setting himself up for failure. Like when he motivated Joseph's brothers to throw him in a pit and then sell him as a slave, God goes, I'll allow that because I'm going to work it for the salvation of the whole nation. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I'm the seed. I'm going to fall to the ground and die. What happened, Satan got Jesus crucified, got him in hell, thought he had him, but Jesus in hell lifted up his Holy Spirit, descended in there. The power of God exploded. Jesus resurrected from the dead. Death and hell could not hold him. He was raised from the dead victorious. He conquered hell and the grave, took the keys of death and the kingdom back and presented it to his church. And then he told them this. He goes, don't leave. Don't leave. You're not ready yet. You got to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Why you got to wait for the Holy Spirit to come? Because I want you to be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere. And you need the power, the dunamis, the same power that flowed through Jesus. You need that same power. You know what Satan actually did? He didn't know it, or he wouldn't have done it. He caused one seed, Jesus, to become many seeds. Not that we're Jesus. We're not little Jesuses. We're not the reincarnation of Jesus. But the same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus dwells in us. Let me take you there and show you. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Not John 3:16, but same number. 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at a couple verses, Corinthians 3:16. I'm going to get over there. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Corinthians got a lot to say about this subject. For one thing, when you realize who you are, you realize how you ought to take care of yourself. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit, that's capital S, Holy Spirit, lives in you? He goes on and says this, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred or holy, and you are that temple. You ought to walk to the mirror and say, hello, temple. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's God's will. Now, not every human being is temple of the Holy Spirit. Only those who've been saved. That means you've come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. How do I get saved? You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So you're going to have to hear the gospel somewhere, or you're not going to believe that. You're going to hear the gospel. Good place to hear the gospel is at church. But you can hear the gospel in all kinds of places. You can open the Bible and read it for yourself. You hear the gospel, the good news that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. You believe it. I believe that. Does that make you saved? No, that makes you a candidate for salvation. Now you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord of your life, personal Lord and Savior. Invite him in, and he will come in. He'll forgive you of your sins, and you'll be a new creature in Christ. Amen. Amen. Now you're a candidate for what? Oh, I thought I was done. I need to get water baptized. Well, I agree. You do need to get water baptized, but I'll tell you this. There are people in the Bible that weren't water baptized that were saved. So if you believe water baptism saves you, there went your theology. Who baptized the criminal on the cross next to Jesus, I would ask you? Mm-hmm. And the answer is nobody. The Apostle Paul wrote and said, God didn't send me, Jesus didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He said, I never baptized anybody except for one household. So baptism is not salvation. Baptism is the symbol of that salvation. It's not what saves us. It's what tells the world that we've been saved. And I do believe it is a spiritual event. I believe that when we are demonstrating to all the witnesses that we are laying our life down to Christ to take up the new Christ life, I believe it is a powerful symbolic symbol, and it's spiritual. And God empowers us with a greater power because we follow him in baptism. We need to do that. If you've not done it, you need to schedule that at your church. But then Jesus didn't just tell the disciples to get water baptized. He said, you need to baptize in the Holy Spirit because you need that dynamite power. And when Jesus fell to the ground and died, laid his life down, he made the way for Holy Spirit to come and indwell all of us. Because we've been cleansed and purified by the blood of Jesus Christ and made holy so that we can be the temple. Because before we were born again, we were led about by the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2, it tells us we were all led about by the prince of the power of the air. Well, God ain't going to take a dirty, disgusting, unsaved vessel, which I used to be, and fill that dirty, disgusting, unsaved vessel with Holy Spirit. He's got to take the vessel and make it holy. Then he can pour the Holy One himself into that vessel. Now, that doesn't mean I became perfect or you have to become perfect to receive Holy Spirit in the sense of what we think of perfect, like I never, ever do anything or say anything wrong. Perfection is attained through faith in Jesus Christ. God said he has for once and for all made perfect those who are being made holy. Progress. But I'm going to guarantee you one thing. I'm not going to grow very much without Holy Spirit. So Paul wrote to the church numerous times there in Corinthians. He said, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Literally, your body's the temple. Turn to the 6th chapter there in Corinthians. Paul didn't even get off the subject. 3 chapters later, he brings it up again. And in the 6th chapter, he's talking about how we live because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. In the 6th chapter, in the 19th verse, do you not know? Again, the words, do you not know? Are you ignorant of the fact? Are you unlearned? Have you never been taught that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I grew up in church, and they may have taught this. I don't know, because I guarantee you one thing. If they taught it, I wasn't listening. But I think there are a lot of times that we, the body of Christ, don't spend enough emphasis on the fact that as a Christian person, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are God's temple. He doesn't dwell in brick and mortar buildings. He dwells in people. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, do you not know that your body, your earth suit, your body is temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. What price? The precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, what does he tell you to do? Honor God with your body. So next time you're thinking about doing something with that body you've got, whatever that something is, ask yourself this question. Does this activity honor God or not? And if this activity does not honor God, maybe I ought to pray and ask God, God, is it okay for me to do this activity? And if I have faith and feel like, yeah, God says this is fine, then go ahead. Now, if it's written in the Bible not to do it, like you can't pray and say, God, is it okay if I get drunk once in a while? It's written in the Word, written in black and white letters. Don't be drunk, okay? There are a lot of things that you can't excuse away because the written Word of God takes your excuse already. But then there are things that Paul writes. He goes, you know, whatever you believe about this, that's between you and the Lord. So, but whatever we do, we need to be doing it in faith. And we need to do it with this in mind. I have to guard how I live because I am an instrument of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. I need to live a clean, holy, anointed life so that at any given moment, because I don't ever know, you don't ever know when somebody may call you or you may get an opportunity in the grocery store or the post office, lay hands on someone and believe and release the power of God. Listen to me, I know I need to quit, but if Jesus could feel the dunamis power flow through him when the woman touched the hem of his garment, don't you think that we who are the body of Christ now, on earth, should be a faucet, if you want to put it that way, a portal for the Holy Spirit's dunamis power to flow through now, and that we ought to be able to, when we lay hands on someone, we ought to be able to release and feel that power of God flow also? I'd look at it that way. And some of it has to do with, will they receive it? I mean, you can try to push all you want to. If someone don't pull, there ain't going to be no receiving. That's why we see such great miracles in missions, because the people are pulling hard. We barely even have to do anything. Just show up. Mm-hmm. And it's their faith more than ours. But we are also in faith. We're obedient. We're going and doing. You know, Terrell says, hey, all my team, we're going to wade out through the crowd. If you need healing in your body, raise your hand. The people raise their hand. They did their part. They're expecting. He said, my team, we're going to lay hands on you. We went out there. We didn't go, oh, that, I can't do that. I don't think it would work. Well, what if it don't work? Monica could probably help you with that. What if it did? What if it's not God? What if it is? You know? If you're going to err on the side of obedience. Don't be a reluctant vessel. It's hard for God to use you. Get your eyes off of yourself and your own inadequacies and just simply do this. If I handed you $100 right now, and I said, can you please give your neighbor, I happen to know your neighbor needs $100 desperately. Here's $100. Will you go give it to him? I'm pretty sure we could all do that. Except for the one person that goes, oh my gosh, I'm not qualified. I don't know. I don't think I could do that. Like, really? I'm giving it to you. You give it to them. Simple as that. It's like me asking you, can you turn the switch? Can you switch the lights on for me? Switch them off for me, Monica. Can you switch them on? I did not ask her to create electricity. I simply asked her to flip the switch. That's all God wants us to do. But in order for the switch to bring results, there's got to be power. And in order for there to be power, it has to come from Holy Spirit. Same power Jesus operated in. So don't leave home without him. He's going with you. I got a whole lot more notes, don't I, Neva? Mm-hmm. You want some more reading? I'll just give you homework. Read John 14 chapter. Read John 14, 15, 16 all together. It all really goes together. And you'll see that the 14th chapter focuses on the Holy Spirit, the 16th chapter focuses on the Holy Spirit, and the 15th chapter in between, Jesus is saying, you can't do anything without me because I'm the vine and you're the branches. Well, how do I attach to Jesus who's in heaven? Holy Spirit. God wants us to be about doing his work. He wants us to be the worldwide witness of Jesus. Jesus died so that his one seed could become. Think about how many people on this earth now are believers in Jesus Christ who are filled with the Spirit of God doing the works of Jesus all over the world, all over the world. But what's going on in your world? That's what I want to ask. Don't leave home without him. Ask, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you say, well, I never received baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you say, well, I think I have. I'm going to tell you something straight up. If you think you have, you probably haven't. Because receiving baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an event in your life that you're going to wonder about. I didn't wake up this morning and wonder if I was married. I remember the day I got married, and every day since then, for better or worse, it has affected my life. That's not how it is. Every day since then, my life has been better because I have a covenant. Amen?
Amen.
I don't have to ask. I wonder if I'm married. I don't remember. I know I am. I remember when I made that commitment. And I remember when a commitment was made to me. Amen. Well, Father, I pray that you'd help our listeners. If there's anyone, Lord God, that says, I don't know about all this, we'll go study it. I pray, God, you give them a heart of inquiry into the things of God. Lord, just come to you, Father God, and say, teach me. Teach me, Father God, about this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Father, if you want me to have this baptism in the Holy Spirit, I pray, God, you pour out wisdom and knowledge and help me to understand what I need to do. Your word says, ask and you'll receive. Father, I want to ask, but I want to ask in faith, so teach me. And I pray, God, if someone's ready today to receive, they would simply just ask. I want to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want the power of Jesus living in me. I receive that now by faith. And, Lord, I thank you for it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Great, great lesson today, my Pastor Dwight Shepherd from Living Waters in Burns Flat. If you missed any part of it, go back and watch it on Facebook. It'll be posted there just almost immediately when the program's over. If you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, send them to our website, therockchristianmusic.com. Have them click on the Hour of Power, then go to Wednesday. From me, Neva, from Monica, from Pastor Dwight, have a blessed day, and we will see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.
Everything you say is gonna happen, even though I haven't seen it.